And cycle.
Welcome to the 1 o'clock, no sour, haha, funny hour.
And cycle.
No sour, happy, fun time, haha, power hour.
And cycle.
Welcome to the no sour, fun time, haha, power hour.
Oh, she did it.
I got it.
I think she's got it. By George, she's got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 1 o'clock hour, the no sour, haha, fun time, power hour on this Tuesday, May 9th. Very sunny, very beautiful outside. Just rolling through all of our guests. It's been a great day so far.
Definitely.
And we are going to keep it rolling because May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, or AAPI for short. And our focus, one of our focuses have been trying to get more people to come in on the different months that are being recognized and hear more about those communities and things that are happening in Southeast Wisconsin, across Wisconsin, and here to discuss AAPI Month and also their organization that works year-round, which is called Elevation, is Eric Kennedy and Sherry Tran. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, and congratulations on the WBA recognition, and then congratulations to Michael and you.
Thank you.
Expecting and inspiring future leader.
The award in itself, the baby award.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yes, that was. I guess we didn't really talk about that. We'll talk about the other show a little bit more, but we did get recognized at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association's award this weekend, so we'll touch on that later. But thank you, Eric.
Yeah.
So let's start with, what is Elevation? Sherry?
Sure. Well, happy to share. So Elevation is an organization that was formed by Eric Kennedy, myself, and two other partners of ours, Jessica Bowling and Mainza Tao. Back in 2015 is when we formalized this organization. We recognized that as we kind of navigated the community engagement scene in Milwaukee, that there was always a voice missing from the table, and that was the voice of the Asian community.
Mm-hmm.
So we felt that we needed to change that. So we came together and kind of organized more of our Asian American leaders in the community to come together and start to elevate that voice and amplify that voice wherever we could around the community. And we felt that the best way to do that is through education, through awareness, through engagement. So we formed Elevation. The name itself references the fact that we're trying to elevate the visibility of Asians in the Milwaukee community. And so we do that through, like we said, engagement opportunities, fun things as well to get the community involved in learning about our culture. But at the same time, our goal as an organization is to make Milwaukee a place where AAPI professionals, businesses can thrive by being unapologetically Asian. So just appreciating who we are, what we bring to the table, and to create a better Milwaukee.
I love that. And I also love a good pun. So Elevation was, what's this history of the name? Who actually came
Sherry.
Up with
it?
It's all Sherry.
I love puns. Yeah. So just like, hey, this makes sense. And, we kind of ran with it and it worked out really well.
And so since 2015, that's approaching 8 years.
Yeah.
And so what are some of the milestones that you reflect on and kind of feel like what you've been able to accomplish in 8 years?
I think that for me, I think just seeing the community support and people continuing to be advocates and allies and just seeing people break bread over delicious food, so during Asian Restaurant Week or just year-round, I think that people becoming more aware about AAPI community initiatives, issues, and also stakeholders and individuals. It's been really inspiring and breathtaking, and we enjoy everyone's support. So,
and we've been able to make some really great partnerships in the community. We were able to partner with the mayor's office and have annual proclamations for AAPA month to get some recognition out there in the community. We've been able to partner with some corporations as well that are you know, also share our vision and values for what we want to do. So we've got some great sponsorship from companies such as Molson Coors and American Family for some starters. And we've been able to establish our Facebook page, our website, really start doing some outreach and do some education with some corporations in the area too. We talk, especially during this month, they would like somebody to come in and talk about API Heritage Month. And so they reach out to us. So we've become that kind of that clearinghouse and that conduit to information about the Asian community. So we've kind of been seen as that resource. So we really are proud of establishing that for our organization as well. And also created just this community, you know, for folks that felt like, you know, the only ones in their community. They're like, oh, we have a group now and we can connect with, and we've really built a really great network.
Yeah. Eric, I just want to underscore something that you said about the importance of sitting down and eating food together. I just think that makes such an enormous difference when people have to sit down and share a meal.
Yeah, I think that for me and Sherry, we, and even Kristen, we love breaking bread and getting to know each other without no agenda or ask, and just being able to get to know each other and be able to support one another. I think that we've seen so many relationships being formed outside of after breaking bread while supporting AAPI restaurants, and what better way to get to know someone besides music and sports, but also food. Everyone needs to eat, right? So like being able to support a delicious establishment, visit MKE establishment, but then also being able to find similarities and see how we can support one another. It's been really inspiring to see.
Absolutely. So I always think about this because when you think of the AAPI community, that's like 90 plus cultures and ethnicities. Yeah. If you think like that's like arguably half the globe. When you think of, you put all the Pacific Islanders, you put India, Pakistan, South, like all Southeast Asian, like China, Korean, Hmong, like there, that's a lot of cultures to put into one group. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, the themes not planned at all of this show so far today, has been women are not a monolith. Teenagers are not a monolith. And certainly the AAPI community, not a monolith. And so how do you balance when you talk about these issues, or even having an entire month for so many different cultures that fall under that, that differ so much between themselves? How does that show up, both the good and the bad, in the groups you've created?
Mm-hmm. I think that's great that you call out that we're not a monolith, right? That's one of the main talking points that we try to share as the first point of education, is that, you know, Asian is such a large, broad diaspora of cultures and nationalities. And that's the first thing we want people to know, is that there are so much diversity within the Asian culture. And we want people to first recognize that. And we try to celebrate all of them as much as we can, you know, what is represented, especially in the state of Wisconsin. So we do have specific programming focused on, you know, the Hmong community, the South Asian community with our Indian population, and those that are highly populated in Wisconsin, such as Japanese, Chinese, and Korean as well. So we try to make sure that we include information about all of those cultures when we're talking about the story of Asian Americans, like in America, right? So that immigration story, you know, we talk about that whole, all the different waves of immigration that have come to the state of Wisconsin, and how those communities have impacted our community in great positive ways. So we definitely try to highlight all of those anytime we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of being a little bit more aware of Asian American history, I know that this has been, we've talked about it a couple times on this show, but an ongoing, I'll say fight or effort in Madison to try to incorporate and require more Asian American history curriculum in our schools, because I actually learned this a couple weeks ago when we were talking to Milwaukee Turners. They were doing a big event, and that in legislation, there was like 1 year basically where Black American, Jewish American, all these different cultures, there was legislation that we're going to include this, and next year we'll get to the Asian American history. And then it just never happened. And so I don't know if you guys have been involved in that or can speak to any kind of where we are with that effort.
Definitely, definitely. So yeah, Assembly Bill 232.
There you go.
Right? Yeah, and that's just really trying to make sure that we have representation in terms of what we're learning, what our children are learning in schools, because everyone's history matters, right? And especially in communities where there is a large Asian population, when students don't see their own history being talked about, they just feel, you know, less less than, or they feel like not as important. So our organization is one of the founding members as well of the AAPI Coalition of Wisconsin, which is a collection of other nonprofits and advocacy agencies supporting Asian Americans in this across the state that have really been that advocacy arm that we help support in our community when it comes to legislation, when it comes to, you know, those like voting rights and things like that. So there were some organizations this weekend that came together on Saturday to just help educate people about the bill. So they had a postcard decorating kind of get together, which invited, you know, kids and families together to start decorating informative postcards that talked about the bill that can be sent out and shared across the community, and just had an opportunity to talk to people about what does the bill mean? What does it mean to us? Yeah. Why is it important? And, you know, there's only so much that, you know, we can do as, you know, organizations outside of the education system to try to educate as much as we can and invite people to come to these events. But we know how important it is to really have curriculum around this to really create that better environment for students and, you know, creating these future leaders in our community that have this understanding and appreciation for what diversity brings to the table.
Yeah. Got anything, Eric?
No, I think that you're starting to see more stakeholders and elected officials, so like State Representative Francesca Hogg, and then also you have the mayor, so Chevy Johnson, or Mayor Johnson, and Milwaukee County Exec David Crowley, and even Governor Evers. They want to see this happen. They want to see that we as a state, we need to be more inclusive and more intentionally diverse. And what better way is to learn about the history of our country, the good, the bad, and the moderate, right? And how can we grow from this? And how can we also teach others about our history and then really have those intentional, healthy conversations about embracing it and learning and really becoming more educated so that we can help reframe the narrative of the state and the community. So
absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. But our guests, Eric Kennedy and Sherry Tran, will still be here when we come back. They are the two of the four co-founders of Elevation, and we were talking about AAPI Heritage Month. If you have any questions or maybe talk about some of the events that are happening in your part of the state, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY, and we will be right back.
We know who we are. A brand new island everywhere we roam.
Away, away.
We keep our island in our mind. And when it's time to find home, we know the way.
Away, away.
We are explorers reading every sign. We tell the stories of our elders in a never-ending chain.
Away, away.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, and she is Jane Matinere, and we are talking about AAPI Heritage Month, also known as Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, with co-founders of Elevation, Eric Kennedy and Sherry Tran. And you guys have a busy month.
Yeah.
We do. We're excited.
You have a lot of stuff popping up. So let's go through some of the events people can have to look forward to.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, we had a couple of great ones already so far, already the last couple of weeks. But the next thing coming up is Asian Restaurant Week, which is, you know, we were able to form the first ever Asian Restaurant Week that happened in the city a few years ago. So it's been really popular. And that's starting May 14th through the 20th. So that's just coming up next week. And we are big proponents of the fact that, you know, breaking bread is the best way to build bridges, mm-hmm. right? So sharing a meal, you know, that's a traditional way that Asian cultures show care and love for others is by feeding them, right? And, yeah. and providing sustenance. So the best way, we'd be like, hey, we need to highlight the businesses that are Asian-owned or, you know, Asian-themed restaurants in our community that could use the support, could also, you know, help us build those bridges with folks by, hey, come to dinner with me. Let's try this yep. new restaurant together and, you know, learn about different foods. We encourage people not just to go to the restaurants to eat, but also get to know the people making the food as well and serving the food, learn about them, not just, you know, enjoying what they make, but learn a little bit more about them too, to start building those relationships, right? And start building that appreciation and that connection with these restaurants. And then, you know, try something new, you know? So we had a list of restaurants curated by our members that have said, here's my favorite place for this. And here's, you know, this restaurant you might not have known about. So we created that list that's available on our website, which is elevationwi.com, that lists all of the restaurants you can check out with contact information and links to their sites. So we encourage people to check that out for sure. And, you know, we do a lot of food events because we love food. You know, it's just something that we all share in common as a love of our co-founders. We always meet over meals, but we also do activations and events that are not around food only and solely. We're partnering with Milwaukee Film as well and doing a mini Asian film festival.
Oh, that's
well.
So cool.
Yeah, they've been great partners of ours as well to promote, you know, Asian films and things like that. So on the 16th of May, actually, we're doing what we call an Engage and Activate initiative with Milwaukee Film at Company Brewing, which is down on the east side of Milwaukee, which is just a free event that it brings the community together to explore API issues through like a short film and dialogue session. So you get to meet new people, talk to new people, kind of dissect an issue, you know, in real time with folks and just kind of dialogue about API issues as well. So that's something that's happening during that activation in May with Milwaukee Film. The film festival is May 19th to the 21st.
Okay.
And those films are hosted at the Oriental Theater. And there are three films that we're featuring during that that weekend. May 19th, there's a 9 p.m. movie called Heroic Trio, which features everyone's new favorite Oscar winner, Michelle Yeoh.
Yes.
So an early film of hers that will be shown. And then just right on the heels of that, the next day, May 20th at 6:15, we're going to show a filming of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon as well. So folks nice. That are, you know, kind of seeing this everything everywhere all at once, mm-hmm. Like mania that's kind of come from this movie, can see really some of the origins of Michelle Yeoh early on in her career as well. And then May 21st at 3 p.m., we're doing a screening of Monsoon Wedding, which is a South Asian film that
okay.
was out a while ago. You know, maybe this next generation can like appreciate it, you know, this cultural aspect of the South Asian community as well. So representation from that. Is going to be shown. So those are the three films that we're featuring that weekend. And then May 23rd, we're doing a Asian trivia night with Milwaukee Film as well, which will cover the span of general Asian knowledge as well as pop culture, films, movies. So it'll be a fun night, again, hosted at Company Brewing. It's also a free event. So it's just like bring your friends, do some trivia, win some prizes, and just have a good time while learning more about AAPI, you know, information. So that's some of the big events that we've got going on. But then to round out the entire, you know, celebration, we had to push a little bit out to June 4th because, you know, it's a very busy month of May. But we are hosting the first ever Milwaukee Dumpling Fest.
Oh, I'm so excited. I am so excited about Dumpling Fest.
So June 4th is when that's happening. And it's from noon to about 3 o'clock and hosted at the Cooperage.
Down
in Milwaukee.
Great venue.
Great space there. So we have actually sold out. That event has completely sold out. So we're super excited about that. And, you know, we're just looking forward to making that even bigger and better next year. But we're going to have 12 restaurants already, like, committed to be on site serving dumplings. So you get at least 12, you know, different samples of different kinds of dumplings. So we have some traditional Asian style dumplings, but we also have chefs, really great chefs from Milwaukee, from some of our award-winning restaurants that are taking their own spin on mm-hmm. dumplings as well. So paying, you know, appreciation of the dumpling in all different forms, right? We feel like, you know, dumplings are a food that are present in many cultures, yeah. not just Asian culture. So it's like brings the world together wraps it in dough. It's a delicious bite, like from anywhere around the country, around the world. So
I think there needs to be a dumpling month.
We might work on that for next year.
I can't believe it's already sold out.
Well, maybe we may have two seats for you guys. So.
Okay. But it makes so much, like the dumpling thing makes so much sense because you think about Taco Fest.
Yeah.
And there's
a
bunch of different taco trucks and they're all different and people show up to that. Or Wing Fest. You just put like the variations of food and people love events like that.
Yes.
And obviously people were yearning.
People have been waiting for the dumplings. Yes, yes. So
and we have some celebrities going to be emceeing the event and then also the judges.
Is it a secret?
No, not a secret at all. It's out there on our website, mkedumplingfest.com. It's out there. You can see all the things we got planned. We're adding new surprises every day. Adam Public is going to be our MC from Hell's Kitchen fame, Egg and Flour fame. You know, folks might know him from some of those programs and locations. Our judges for the Dumpling Fest include Derek Mosley, everyone's favorite former judge, Francesca Hong from Madison, as well as Adam. Adam Pollock will be one of the judges as well. So we've got a great lineup of folks and some great restaurants involved, and we're really excited about, you know, this first ever Dumpling Fest.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I have to cut you off.
No, I mean, three amazing guests that were on here as well. So they're coming back to Milwaukee.
That's true.
And gonna help support.
All right, Sharon, Eric, this was so fun. I can't wait to go to all of these events. Thank you so much for spending time today. And I will link everything so people can see it on the website.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are bookending this today's show since it is Teacher Appreciation Week.
And we love teachers.
We started with education with Dr. Jill Underley, and we're ending with education with Peggy Wirtz-Olson, who is a teacher and also the president of Wisconsin Education Association Council, also Wisconsin's teacher union. And we're so excited to have you here to talk about WEAC, but then also to talk about this weekend, the Rally for Public Education happening at 2 p.m. at the Capitol. So welcome to the show, Peggy.
Well, thanks for having me. So I'm going to definitely headline, not quite this weekend, the weekend after,
Saturday,
May 20th, at 2 p.m. at the Wisconsin State Capitol, where we will be having a rally to support Governor Evers' budget.
Sorry about that.
No
worries.
A lot of details
to keep straight sometimes. But so not this Saturday, the following Saturday. But before we get into the details of the rally and why people should show up, I guess for people unfamiliar with, it is WEAC, right? Not WEAC. Is that how you refer to it?
Yeah. So we're the Wisconsin Education Association Council. Many times people will refer to us as WEAC, right? By our acronym. And we are the State Teachers Union.
And so what, you know, as far as unions go, like I think sometimes we talk about unions, we talk about the teachers union as kind of this thing that we all know it exists, but not always clear on what does it actually do. So what is it like? What does it give teachers? What other departments and systems do you guys work with? And why is it so important to have a teachers union?
Yeah, well, several answers I've got for you around all those issues, right? So our mission is to advocate for great public education for the common good. So that is a big piece of what we do is advocacy, right? But I think that we can all agree in this conversation and really across the state that when educators come together, right, when we stand with one another and with our colleagues is when our voice is going to be heard the most strongest. I know that my educator colleagues are constant advocates and really champions for the students in their classrooms every single day. And so a big piece of the work that we do at WEAC is really student advocacy and, you know, that voice for our students.
And so I think that makes such a big difference. It's the same thing we were talking with Dr. Underley as far as so much of what teachers actually do is on behalf of their students. And students, I think, often feel that. She was saying how with the awards giving out this last week and this week for Wisconsin Teacher of the Year, that what's so fun is to see how excited the students are for their favorite teacher. And I think sometimes when we get further and further away from being in school, you forget what that like connection actually is of how close teachers are with their students. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, that's such a fair statement. And you know, really, your programs this week around Teacher Appreciation Week are really underscoring that relationship, right? Parents, educators, we work so closely together on behalf of the students that we serve in this state every single day.
And so with, obviously, you are a teacher, you work with teachers, there's the camaraderie that comes with the teachers union. And we've talked a lot about how to appreciate teachers. We've also talked a lot about how the pipeline of recruiting teachers, but also keeping teachers and not having them quit entirely. So I guess as you are advocating on behalf of WEAC, but also in your own school, what do teachers need right now?
Well, you know, I've heard others, you know, talk about this poignantly this week, right? So in order to appreciate educators, you know, our actions speak so much louder than our words, right? So the rally that we're talking about on Saturday, May 20th, is really about passing a budget that's going to fully fund our public schools. So in terms of what educators need right now, they need full funding supports, you know, in terms of the advocacy for our students, mental health supports. The budget is going to fund lunches for the students that we serve every single day, mental health supports for those students, and really educator pay. At the end of the day, we are in a profession, and it's important that we compare our bills at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And certainly by the turnout at some of the Joint Finance Committee meetings that were held across the state, there's a lot of support for public schools and public school funding.
Absolutely. You know, I was just looking at a statistic, and I promise not to bore you with a million stats, but really in six of the last eight years, you know, the nominal increases to funding or the deep cuts to education funding are a reality. So I really will underscore, as someone who testified at a Joint Finance Committee hearing and, you know, with my colleagues doing the same, it's clear across the state that parents, educators, superintendents, school board, association, principals, right, we're all standing together around advocating for real full funding for our students. Our schools need it.
We're talking to Peggy Wirtz-Olson, who is a teacher and president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council, also known as WEAC. And I guess, how to not sound super dire or be negative, but I guess, how would you frame it if the budget doesn't come through? Because I think we live in a state and have lived here long enough to know that sometimes just because something's popular doesn't mean it happens. And so what is at risk if the Joint Finance Committee and ultimately the budget that gets passed doesn't meet some of these funding requirements that public schools need?
Well, I'm going to underscore the $7 billion surplus. That's $7 billion with a B in terms of surplus. And from that surplus, it's $2.6 billion that Governor Evers had put forward in his budget proposal, right? So really the critical components of some of the things I've been talking about with my colleagues and, you know, across the state are beyond that, you know, right, that $2.6 billion, really it will help to substantially lift those revenue limits. School districts are feeling that pinch in terms of the funding side. Special education funding is another critical, real piece of those provisions, really to get to 60% funding for special education. I've talked a little bit even earlier on your program about the mental health needs of our students. You know, those are real mental health needs that I think we can all see in our communities. I know I speak on behalf of educator mental health when I talk about what's really occurring. And then those school meals, right? Breakfasts and lunches for our students. I don't know about you, but I don't do well when I haven't had something to eat in terms of learning anything or being even coherent in a conversation, right? So we really need those critical pieces to be funded.
Absolutely. And so I guess since we are in Teacher Appreciation Week, what beyond the action that needs to be taken with actually funding our schools, and you can speak from a personal anecdote as a teacher, but what do you feel like the average person can do to appreciate teachers more?
Well, they can join us on Saturday, May 20th at our rally at 2 o'clock at the Wisconsin State Capitol. But on a personal note, right? Like that would mean a great deal to educators and really all of the champions across the state about getting a budget that's going to fund our public schools. But on that personal note, I think, you know, a personal note of thanks. I think that a conversation with an educator, you know, today our organization is doing Tag a Teacher Day, right? And really lifting up the way an educator has changed your life. I caught a little bit of your program yesterday, and it sounded to me like you had a pretty famous was it your assistant principal?
Oh, Jessica Doyle.
Made an impact on your life.
Yeah. Yesterday I told the story of Jessica Doyle, who was our vice principal, was the vice principal at Cherokee Middle School. And then my seventh grade teacher, Mrs. Passman, who was my social and English teacher at Cherokee Middle School. And so there's obviously more than that. But both of those people, Mrs. Passman, I got to find. I think I friend requested her, but she hasn't accepted it yet.
She's still screening you.
She's still screening me.
Peggy, I'm curious. What do you think is the biggest misconception that the public has about teachers?
Oh, the biggest misconception. You know, I think I'm gonna do the biggest misconception that the public has about our union, right? And that's that, as a union of educators, you know, we're busy advocating right for ourselves. When I know that my colleagues and I, the biggest advocacy we do is for our students. So where the space I stand in is as a teacher of over 20 years, my students are the most important to me, and I want to see them succeed.
That is a really good understanding that the understanding that everyone's working together and that teachers also have your kids' best interest in mind, and that's why they do this job, and then you're not on opposite teams. Versus, you know, and realizing like it takes everyone to make sure each kid thrives, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the students that we work with every single day are what make us get up in the morning. Despite, right, some days you're tired and, you know, some days there's all kinds of things coming at you. We do this work for our students and we care about our students.
And so let's talk a little bit more about what to expect. So Rally for Public Education is 2 p.m. Saturday, May 20th at the State Capitol. And so probably still in planning mode, but what can people expect as far as who's going to be speaking? Hopefully it's going to be good weather.
Well, yeah. So what you can expect, right, is that it's going to be a top line of educators, right? We're the strong voice that will be speaking at our rally. You know, we certainly will continue to extend the hand. I know that you were invited to join us, but I don't think your schedule permits. But if your schedule changes, you know, you're certainly welcome to join and stand with us and our top line of educators, right? Classroom educators, leaders in our profession who are standing shoulder to shoulder, really advocating for an awesome budget. You know, there'll be an opportunity to make to do a little bit of art, right? To make a few signs to express your excitement for the budget and what the funding stream looks like and needs. I know we have colleagues from other places who've done some amazing art builds in their communities who'll be sharing that work with everyone who's there. But I really look forward to that opportunity for us to gather together and really remind the state that as public school champions, that's who will be there that day. Parents, community members, school board members, district administrators, principals, right? We're all gathered together on behalf of a budget that is going to support Wisconsin's public schools. So that's what you can expect. It should be an inspirational event.
Absolutely. And for people like me who maybe can't make it that day, but still want to support public schools and rally for public schools, what can, outside of the rally, would you suggest people to either look into or advocate for or get involved with?
You bet. Well, I will always encourage you to reach out to members of the Joint Finance Committee and indicate aid to them, your support for your public schools, share with them. You know, I've top-lined the $2.6 billion, you know, in funding, the special education needs our schools have, mental health supports, right, breakfast, those meals for kids. Indicate your desire to have those things funded in our budget.
Absolutely. That is a good piece of advice. All right. Well, Peggy Wirtz Olson, she is a teacher and the president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. We'll certainly put all the information for the rally on our website so people can go find that in the show notes on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. But thank you for your time today.
Thank you. And thank you for your work around elevating teachers this week during Teacher Appreciation Week.
Yeah, it's the least we can do, honestly. So thank you so much. All right, we will take one more break and then come back and wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinier. Maybe we should just book every show with 5 back-to-back guests.
They were fabulous.
It was fabulous. It flew by. I can't believe the show's over almost today.
I know.
But what a fun day of guests to talk to with similar themes. Really, that the We Are Not a Monolith theme came through
often,
which is shocking how you should treat people as individuals instead of bucketing them into the whatever category you are identifying them as.
And now I'm obsessed with dumplings. That's all I can think about since we talked about Dumpling Fest.
I'm surprised this is the first time. How has this not existed prior to this?
I don't know. I'm shocked. But it's here now.
But it's here now, and obviously people were yearning for it, that it's already sold out.
I know.
Not even until June 4th. But maybe we'll get the special invite.
Let's work on that.
Because we know people.
Because now I'm obsessed.
But yeah, there's so many things to do. But before, I do want to talk about our honor.
We were acknowledged.
We got
some acknowledgement over the weekend.
And, you know, the WBA, Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, had their award ceremony on Saturday. We did not go because we didn't think than any of our stuff that we submitted was going to get recognized. But lo and behold, our interview with Laura Lyons, my good friend, she's been on the show twice. We'll have to have her on soon. But she was on, and her story is still to this day of survival is incredible. So she's a good friend of mine that we did comedy together in New York. And very early at the beginning of COVID, she got COVID before they even knew what it was.
Yes.
And she ended up being in a coma for over 3 months. And her rehab, I mean, she's permanently disabled, and but still has such an incredible sense of humor.
Killer sense of humor.
And has written about it. She has 2 new pieces that she's working on right now. But we submitted our interview with Laura, and we got 3rd place.
We did. So thank you for that. These are judged by out-of-state radio people.
Is that how it works?
Is my understanding, yeah.
Okay.
So there can't be any favoritism within the state.
Can't be any politicking.
Exactly, exactly.
So that was very...
It was lovely.
Happy, pleasant surprise to get, as far as... Especially for it to be the one with Laura, because I think her story is inspiring and sad and a reminder that COVID is still here,
yes,
even though the emergency is technically over.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. It's still, as I said last week, the fourth cause of death in the States right now after heart disease, cancer. I forgot what the third one was, but it had dropped from where it was the last couple of years, but it's still fourth. That's still high.
That is high.
And having compassion and consideration for people who are still dealing with variety of symptoms from long COVID, mm-hmm. whether it's as severe as Laura's, which is being on oxygen and being in a wheelchair, to people who, you know, I've heard people who are like started losing their hair early and their hair is thinning, and that's more cosmetic, but just I think having some sensitivity still that this was something that happened and impacted a lot of people's lives.
We lost a million people.
We lost a million people. We lost people, lost loved ones. People's lives are changed as far as what their health looks like now. And so
children
I feel
lost
like,
their parents.
Yeah. So I feel like Laura's story is emblematic of what a lot of people lost during that, beyond just not being able to get a haircut for a little while.
Yeah, exactly. And a shout out also to our news department.
Yes.
That 1/3 for election coverage, which was really exciting.
Yeah, for our election coverage last year. And yep. We'll continue to do that. I mean, we don't have any elections this year, but.
Thank God.
I know.
You get a break for a little while. It's going to be here very quickly anyway.
546 days.
Oh, jeez.
That was also part of my speech last night. Because I was advocating for, you know, spend some time this year to relax, recharge, take a breath, reflect on maybe the reason why you do this work, to get you inspired to do it again. Because yesterday was 547 days before the November election of the president, of our U.S. senator, of all of our Congress people. And who knows if we actually are on that timeline. It could be wild, because if this gerrymandering lawsuit actually moves at a pace where we could have new maps by 2024, that makes the 2024 election potentially wild.
Yeah,
as far as what could, how many competitive seats there could be, and a lot more than just top of the ticket competitive statewide races. Could be fascinating as far as assembly and the state senators that are up and our congressmen who are up.
I know they always say, you know, the system works slowly. Maybe it will be goosed just a scooch.
Goosed such
a... Goosed a scooch.
It's been a slice.
Todd Alba commented on that, by the way.
I know. We should bring that. We should coin that. But then finally... I think mostly because I feel like you would appreciate this story. Did you see about the story about the woman who survived for 5 days in the Australian bush?
No.
And what she survived off of?
No.
Wine.
Oh, well, see. It's life-saving.
I guess it was lollipops and wine.
Lollipops and wine. Now, that sounds like your diet.
That does sound like my diet. A 48-year-old woman survived 5 days stranded in the bush in Australia by eating sweets and drinking a single bottle of wine.
You know what's even more remarkable?
Sounds like a good weekend.
About that, though, is that nothing poisonous killed her, because Australia has some of the scariest everything. Ants, snakes, spiders. There are so many things in Australia that can kill you, and the fact that she survived in the bush for 5 days.
With wine?
With wine and no weapons. That's impressive.
Well, that's what was funny. I forgot which of our callers yesterday was talking about the only weapons, you know, like big weapons in Australia are licensed to basically be out in the bush and kill the creatures that only look like they should come from some kind of sci-fi film. Because only in Australia are like, holy crap.
That's real? Yeah.
All right. Well, what a fun day. This is thank you to all of our guests today, Dr. Jill Underley, Dr. Megan Moreno, Aaron Lewis Cataro, who is in Milwaukee.
Oh, great.
Which I didn't realize. So that's, you know, my new best friend, potentially. Eric Kennedy and Sherry Tran from Elevation. And, of course, our last guest, Peggy Wirtz Olson, who is the president of Wisconsin Education Association Council. What a fun day. I'm in a great mood right now. Maybe it's the sunshine.
That helps.
That helps. That helps. But we will be back tomorrow with more guests, with more fun topics. As always, we'd love to get your feedback at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. You can always send us an email. things that you like, things that we should cover. We love hearing from you. But for now, thank you for texting and calling and being part of the show. Come back tomorrow when we'll do it all again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.